Good morning to everyone. We're glad that you're here and have been looking forward to today all week, and we hope that you've been doing the same. It's always a great thing when Christians can come together to worship their God, and that is exactly the occasion for which we're here and the opportunity that we now have as we have sung, prayed, partaken of the Lord's Supper, gave of our means, and now as we're able to open our Bibles and study from the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Of the many New Testament pleas made by Paul and others throughout the Bible, central to the success of Christianity was his plea that all would keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And in the verses that come following these first three, Paul went on to outline specific areas in which brethren must be unified to succeed in this plea. In verses 4 through 6, he said that there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so we must be unified, and there are principles on which we must stand in unity. There is, however, only one means through which this unity can be accomplished, and that is by coming to a common understanding of the Bible. A question often is asked, can we understand the Bible alike? And the answer to that question is yes. That's not the question we're going to seek to answer in our study this morning. But from the very outset, we answer that question with an astounding yes. We can understand the Bible alike because the Scriptures indicate that we must understand the Bible alike. God would not command us or state in His will that we be unified if unity is not possible. And that's the question upon which that statement stands. Can we understand the Bible alike? Is it possible? Absolutely. Not only can we, but we must. And so then, drawing on that question, the one that we desire to ask and answer this morning is then, how can we understand the Bible alike? If the Scriptures bear out the necessity of it, how then can we go about in succeeding with that unity? God would not give us a command without allowing us the opportunity and giving us the information needed in order to carry out that command. And so He has told us, understand the Bible alike. How then can we do that? I believe there are three things that we can point out this morning that would be a great aid to us in how we can, not just as brethren, but how that we can, as a world, come to a unity based upon the Scriptures. How can we understand the Bible alike? First of all, I would say that a means by which we can understand the Bible alike is that if we be searchers of the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul told that young man to study, to show thyself approved unto God a workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are many in this world who seek and desire knowledge, but don't go about the means by which to obtain it. I remember hearing the story about a man who was preaching a gospel meeting in a certain location. And that particular man was known for his ability to quote every verse that he would use within the course of a sermon, maybe 30 or 40 scriptures in one sermon. And so that particular evening, he was preaching a normal sermon for his ability, and quoting scripture after scripture in confirmation of the truth he was seeking to tell the people about. And after services, a young person came up to that man and said, "Sir, I would give half my life if I could know the scriptures as well as you do." And he said, "That's exactly what it cost me. Half his life, maybe more than that." Brethren, if we want knowledge, if we want understanding, it's not going to come to us some night in a dream. It's not going to be able to be transmitted to us in some miraculous way. It's going to take effort. Paul told Timothy, a young man, who at the time was already doing preaching, doing a great work in the kingdom of the Lord, and yet he told Timothy still to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we are going to be unified on the Bible, if we're going to come to a common understanding of the Bible, it's going to take each individual's effort in the searching of the Scriptures, in the study of the oracles of God. And that's the very example that we see in Acts 17, is it not? In Acts 17, verses 10 and 11, Paul, in the midst of yet another of his missionary journeys, we find that the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night to Berea. They were coming from Thessalonica. And they came unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they searched, they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. The Bereans desired knowledge, and they desired unity based upon their understanding of the Scriptures. They wanted a common understanding of the Scriptures. And they realized the means by which that would come. Searching the Scriptures. Studying the oracles of God. And seeing whether those things that were being taught were so. Mark it down, friends. A common understanding of the truth will never, ever be accomplished until an interest in the truth is found. We live in a world, at least from the religious standpoint, that is crying out for religious unity. On every corner, we see someone who is crying out for unity. But never do we hear any of these crying out for unity stating and understanding that that unity can only come based upon a unity of understanding. They seek unity but toss the Scriptures to the side. And in many ways they believe that this book is a hindrance to unity. Absolutely wrong. This book is the only means by which we can obtain unity, because we must be unified upon it. Can we understand the Bible alike? Absolutely. And we must. In fact, the Bible also bears out the fact that without an understanding of the Bible, destruction is the end. Notice Hosea 4 and verse 6, where Hosea, in speaking of the Israelite nation and their current state, state of affairs with regards to their captivity and their sin, says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now notice the context in which he's speaking is national destruction. The nation of Israel suffered as a whole because of the nation of Israel as a whole's rejection of the gospel. But apply that to us individually. We suffer an individual destruction when we ignore the Scriptures and when we reject the principles of God. Destruction is the only end of ignorance. And so therefore, the old adage that ignorance is bliss is a lie. at least when it comes to religious matters, if we don't know, we need to find out. If we don't know, we need to take the book and study it. We need to learn. We need to grow in knowledge. Paul rebuked some on occasions for the fact that he had taught them, he had converted them, and at such time that they should be teachers of others, he was still having to teach them the first principles. What was the problem? They weren't interested in the truth, and so therefore they didn't go about the proper means of acquiring knowledge. If we are going to understand the Bible alike, we must be diligent searchers of the Scriptures. It takes far more than what we can learn just when we come together, the few times that we do a week. If my entire basis of biblical knowledge is coming solely from the three times we gather on Sunday and the once on Wednesday, if that's all that I get during the week, I am depriving myself of all that God has in store for me through His Word. We should be daily searching the Scriptures, if but just for a few moments, or longer if we can. Study, seek knowledge, grow, and you're going to see an amazing world of understanding open before you. And so how can we understand the Bible alike? First of all, we must be searchers of the Scriptures. If we're not willing to put forth the effort in learning and studying, it's never going to come. Number two, how can we understand the Bible alike? We must be satisfied with the Scriptures. What I mean by that is, we must be satisfied with these Scriptures as they are. There are some in the past, some now, and some who will come in the future, who will want to add to the Word of God, or will want to take away from the Word of God. They're not satisfied with the Scriptures as God gave them to us, but rather are always seeking either something new or seeking to put away something that which is old. But friends, we must be satisfied with what God has given to us. And there's three reasons that I think we need to do that. Number one, we must be satisfied with the Scriptures because they are truth. In Psalm 25 and verse 10, the psalmist said, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." And then in John 17 and verse 17, Christ on behalf of His apostles and later on behalf of all of us would pray to the Father that He would sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. We must be satisfied with the Scriptures because every word that is contained therein is true. If we're going to be concerned with knowledge, and we're going to be concerned with the will of God, we then by necessity are going to be concerned with that which is true. If we're not concerned with that which is true in religious matters, then we're wasting our time anyways. Because if we're not seeking the truth, we're seeking error. And error is not going to help us out any. And so the Scriptures are truth. And with truth must we be satisfied. Number two, we must be satisfied with the Scriptures because they're not going to change. Now, we may think we can change them, and some in history have tried. There are versions of the Bible out on the market now, many of which contain error because the translators in prejudice and bias wanted to add to the Scriptures or in some areas take away. Well, they may change in some ways this printed form of the Bible. But friends, truth is settled in heaven, Psalm 119 and verse 89. The psalmist said, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." We can't change truth. Truth is final. Truth is complete. Truth is settled and locked behind door and key. though we can change in our speaking, we can change in our writing. Truth shall never be changed. And so we must be satisfied with truth because it's unchanging. And in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, Peter said, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue." He's given us all He's going to. He's given us all that we need. There's nothing else He's going to give us, and there's nothing else we can put in. Truth is unchanging. And so therefore, we must be satisfied with what we have, because what we have is what all that we're going to have. Which brings us to the third reason we must be satisfied with the Scriptures, is because it's by those Scriptures that we're going to be judged. In Revelation chapter 20, John is picturing the judgment scene. And he says that on that occasion, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God," referring to the judgment. And he says, "And the books were opened." What books? Books of the Bible. John is saying the Lord lay out the standard by which we're going to be judged. Is there going to be any man-made creed or manual or catechism or alleged truth supposed by man present at the judgment? John says at the judgment, the books will be opened. The books of the Bible. The standard by which we're going to be judged. And in John chapter 12 and verse 48, we see further confirmation of that when it says, "He that rejecteth me," Christ speaking, "and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken," the word of Jesus Christ, "the same shall judge him in the last day." We must be satisfied with the standard by which we're going to be judged, because it's not going to change. And if we're not satisfied with it now, we're not going to live according to it now. And in eternity, we're going to be sorely upset and displeased. If we're not satisfied with this book now, we're certainly not going to be satisfied with it in eternity. Because it shall judge us into condemnation. Brethren, be satisfied with the Scriptures. If we're not satisfied with them, we're never going to come to an understanding of them. And so how can we understand the Bible alike? First of all, be searchers of the Scriptures. Number two, be satisfied with the Scriptures. And then number three, be sharers of the Scriptures. The world will never be unified upon the teachings of Jesus Christ if they never hear the teachings of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 4:2 and 2 Timothy 2:2, we have those precepts by which we are commanded to instruct. We are commanded to preach. We are commanded to teach. 2 Timothy 2:2 in particular, Paul says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." The Scriptures bear out the fact that the continuity of truth is as a domino effect. Somebody taught me. I then teach somebody else. Hopefully those people will accept the truth, obey it, and then they'll go out and teach somebody. And then those people will accept the truth and obey it, and they'll go out and teach somebody. And on and on and on shall the truth continue. If the world is going to be unified upon the truth, the world has to hear the truth. And that's why there is such a strong plea upon the part of Jesus Christ to His apostles as those to whom He delegated the responsibility, and likewise unto all who are far off in delegating the responsibility, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then He told them in Acts 1:8 that you'll be witnesses unto me both here in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto othermost parts of the earth. It's going to be a domino effect unto every continent, into every country, into every city, and into every heart. And if we will share the truth that we enjoy and that has blessed us so very much, the world can be unified upon the Scriptures. It is possible because God has stated His expectation unto us. And by making others aware of the truth, we can fulfill the apostolic plea of Philippians 3 and verse 16. Paul said, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing." If we are going to have a common understanding of the Scriptures, we must share it unto all, that they might be able to likewise enjoy the blessings found in truth. John 8 and verse 32. Can we understand the Bible alike? Absolutely. But how can we? Only by accepting the Bible as it's written, studying it out, and concluding only with the truth that is provided, and then teaching that same truth unto everyone with whom we come in contact, that truth might have an impact in every life, in every heart, and impact every soul from now unto eternity. And the world then can enjoy unity based upon the one standard of truth, the Word of God. Maybe you're here this morning, and you as of yet have not accepted that truth, and thereby are not enjoying the freedom that is provided by that truth. If that's so, then we pray that upon having heard the Word of God, and the faith that you no doubt you have that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you will repent of your sins, confess your faith before us, and even this morning put on Christ in baptism unto the remission of sins, having that iniquity washed away forevermore. Or maybe you're here this morning and in the past you did accept that truth and obeyed it, but since time you've departed from that righteous pathway and no longer are living faithfully in the sight of God. If that's the case with you, we hope that this morning, upon having heard of the wonderful blessings still found in Christ, that you will respond, that you'll repent of those sins, confess them, and pray unto God for forgiveness. And only at such time then will He grant unto you His promise, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we hope and pray that you will come now and accept that truth upon which we stand while together we stand and as we sing.